And if we're going to go into properly operate counter-cyclical fiscal policy, we need to get, as the economy recovers and as the world economy recovers, we need to make sure that we get to a point that we do start getting to surplus so that when the problem happens in the future, we've got a little bit of buffer. So I hope I made myself clear, but if not, I can write a paragraph. And then there's another issue that I wanted to raise, is I fully agree with the chairperson regarding the fact that we are in a new framework with this new act, and that the people expect us to do our job as a parliament. And one of the things that we are expected to do is to listen to what the people are saying and then filter it and then work it into this process. We haven't made any changes at all since the new act has come into place, and I think you shouldn't make a change just for the sake of it. But I do think we need to start moving towards where we are shaping this thing as well, not just the National Treasury. So what I would like to have included in this report, we've raised this issue before, and it was actually COSATU that raised it, about the VAT on books. And we did in our previous report state that we wanted the budget office to advise us or give us inputs on it, but we don't have a budget office. And then, Chairperson, you mentioned that we would have a discussion in this committee so that we could give some guidance to the National Treasury. Now, the time is now because we're busy with the fiscal framework and we're looking at revenue and expenditure. So what I would like to propose is that we should recommend to the Treasury that they give inputs to this committee on what the impact on the fiscal framework would be if we were to zero rate books. And then we could have a look. I'm not saying that it needs to be implemented right now, but it would give us some kind of guidance as to how it would impact on the fiscal framework. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. George. It will assist. You referred to, you might may write a paragraph. It will assist Mr. Fayoum for the completion of that report. You used the word, the time is now. 1994, there were posters on the lampposts. If you think back to 1994, April, the time is now in the Northern Cape. Honorable Van Rooyen.
Thank you, Chair. My submission will start with aspects of expenditure. It is cited in the statement that over the MTF period, government department will be called on to prioritize effective programs while curtailing or withdrawing ineffective activities. Now, you see, the impression created to me is that in the end, the departments will be allowed, I mean, to do this at their own discretion. Now, in the light of the AG report on the expenditure patterns of various government departments, it's very clear that we need to ensure that we strengthen the aspect of ensuring that expenditure is, of course, incurred as expected. That is, money allocated to departments are used as expected. Now, it calls for more or stringent measures of control around that area. Now, my submission is that isn't it time that we consider maybe a process where this issue of expenditure monitoring, but also not expenditure monitoring, is strengthened at the center. Is strengthened at the center, because currently we are having problems when we leave this thing to be only happening at department level. And on to the side of still on expenditure, in the recent reports, the Minister of or they call it COPDA, the Ministry relevant for aspects of local government, was cited as having observed the role of Development Bank municipal infrastructure investment, or maybe aspect of capital budget, where it is cited that the ministers observed that DBSA is not necessarily playing its role in terms of assisting municipalities as expected. I am of the suggestion that maybe it's high time that we get to know exactly what are these concerns of this committee. Because I think we are better placed, I mean, to ensure that the fiscal policy assists in terms of addressing the identified gaps by the ministry. So I'm just saying maybe it's important for us, I mean, to get to know exactly what are the concerns from the ministry around the role of the bank in as far as infrastructure development is concerned at the municipal level. And on the side of revenue, at some stage we were very seized, I mean, with aspects of SACO as this committee, with a very clear intention of showing that SACO is also used as one aspect that will assist us to broaden our tax base. I'm not sure, maybe it's something that we need to look into as a committee going forward as to what are the latest around that, because I know for the fact that there has been some convention that has been called to deal with this matter. As to the outcome of those meetings, I mean, how do they impact to our revenue base as a country? It's something that I think we need to ensure that we are conversant about, so as we are able to check if really this area can be looked into further as a way of broadening our tax base. I know I posed this question yesterday with the ministry around the interventions that have been proposed, that is around the exchange controls as well as the aspect of purchasing reserves. But my biggest worry, because you see some of these measures, it has appeared over time that in some countries where these measures are introduced, I mean, the economy becomes problems. And then at times those countries, I mean, react, or the government of those countries react very, very late, mainly because the monitoring systems are not that effective to pick up on some of these threats. And I know the Treasury made another taking that they will be following up on the performance of these interventions as to how do they impact, more especially around the issue of currency depreciation. But I think as a committee, it's important for us also, because I'm more interested to know, I mean, how do they impact timelessly, because it will be very, very, in my case, it will be very, very reactive, I mean, for us to come when there are problems, while we know that there are these interventions that are being proposed. Is there a way in which, as a committee, we can be involved in the process of monitoring? Or maybe is there a way in which we can be taken on board, without necessarily having to be too technical, taken on board about aspects of monitoring the impact of these interventions that has been proposed? Thank you, Chair.
Yes, I think it can be done on a quarterly basis when we deal with the department doing a quarterly report to the specific committees in Parliament. Honourable Koornhof and then Honourable Swart.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 31 on the fourth paragraph, and I just quickly quote, over the longer term, high economic growth will support debt reduction, enabling government to rebuild fiscal space. Now, you will recall that in our previous report, we were saying something about this, you know, debt, get out of debt strategy, and that we're still awaiting the Treasury to give us a full report. Maybe we must just include that again in this report to make sure that we know exactly what's going to happen. If we grow as projected, everybody is saying we will stabilize 2014, 2015, then it will be slightly over 40% of GDP. But, you know, obviously that was a concern earlier, that it is too high, and if we can afford to reduce that percentage, you know, we should do that. So that sentence in this document tells me there is a urge on Treasury, you know, to reduce this debt. Then secondly, just on to add on what Honourable Van Rooyen was saying in terms of SACU, I think, sir, we in our previous session we had from the Treasury in terms of SACU, they were saying that in December, this December, SACU Council will meet and that they will revise the new revenue sharing formula. We all know that customs income has dropped by 50% because of the recession, and it will be back to the previous levels 2010-2011. But the unfortunate thing is that because of the lower levels, the European Union has moved into the BLNS countries and trying to get a deal on EPAS, you know, economic partnership agreements with them. And, you know, that's not good for South Africa to do that. So there is a little bit of a balance act. I don't know what SACU Council will do in December, and it will probably be influenced what will happen on the African EU summit in November in Libya.
Chair, thank you. And I just want to endorse what my colleague has just said about the debt stock, and I think that is an issue, the debt, government debt levels that featured prominently last year. And it also featured to a certain degree in our discussions yesterday when the DG and the minister were speaking about building defences, a tighter fiscal policy in case one has a double dip recession. Remember last year we spoke very carefully about that. Now, if one looks on page 38 of the budget policy, the National Treasury estimates the debt stock will stabilize at about 40% of GDP by 2015-16. Now, that is very high. If one goes into a second debt level, a double dip, at that level, we've got major problems. But we are, I fully endorse what, up to now, we are in a very solid position. It says that the actual outcome will depend largely on the pace of economic growth, and that is the huge uncertainty. We know at the moment there is huge global uncertainty. We again had the what Mr. Kunhoff said, we are awaiting the Treasury to give us those forecasts as to what the possibilities could be, what are the possibilities. But the point is we've got to reduce our deficit. I have reading, yesterday you'll remember my question to the Minister was, we noticed the percentages of the deficit as a measure of GDP are reducing. But one's got to bear in mind that GDP is increasing. Therefore, the amount as a is in fact not necessarily increasing, but it could almost, it's not reducing sufficiently. Every year it's like 100 billion that's been added, and that is accumulating to the 1.4 trillion. Does the average South African know what a trillion rand is? 1,000 billion rand. So I think that is an issue that we need to focus on again in this report. We can look at what we said in the previous report and say we can address, again, whilst we appreciate the fact that the deficit is decreasing from what is forecast for this year and in the previous year, this trend must continue, and we can express our concerns about debt levels, because clearly here in the report it says again, page 38, the relatively large structural budget deficit over the period underlines the need to improve growth potential and place the fiscus in a more sustainable long-term foundation. That's on page 38. On page 55 of the budget review, it says the foundation of any fiscal policy is to achieve sufficient revenue to sustainably finance public expenditure. To achieve this, the deficit will need to continue the trend downwards beyond 2012-13. This will require spending growth to moderate as revenue continues to rise. So both what Dr. George said about the trajectories meeting each other and what Mr. Kunhoff said, I think is a matter of that we need to look to repeat our concerns in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
I noted, Dr. George. I just want to welcome Honourable Mohoru. Honourable Mohoru is standing in for Honourable Gunda from the NCP side. Dr. George.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to elaborate on what Honourable Swart said. I actually have done a projection here
if we, as I said before, that the GDP, if you look at revenue increasing at 0.2% constantly over the next couple of years and expenditure declining at the rate of 0.5, it will only be, they'll obviously converge, it will be by 2019-20 that we would get into surplus of 0.3% for the first time. So we're looking at 10 years. If everything remains constant, it will be 10 years before we have actually eliminated the deficit. And I think that's probably a bit on the long side. Thank you, Chair.
We must pray that there's not a second world crisis. That's the main thing. Honourable Matamini.
Thank you, Chair. The other contribution from my side is on the consolidated government fund. If you look at the provincial social security funds, you get a feeling like the quarterly reports that are compiled by or that are used by the National Treasury as a monitoring tool, it's either they are not monitored effectively or they are not analyzed effectively. The reason why I'm saying this, coaches, is because if you analyze the outcome of that consolidated government funding, you realize that some provinces, taking for an example like the Northwest, there is so much of the underspending together with the Northern Cape. And within that, you'll find that there are sectors which are very important and they are basic sectors where they've done a huge overspending, much as the National Treasury is saying that they have analyzed and looked at those issues. Taking for an example, the health from KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, they're saying they've taken steps of analyzing what has led to that. But you don't see or you don't get a feeling of, after they've analyzed, what actions were taken to ensure that such a picture is not occurring again. That is the first one. And then the second one is on the procurement. Indeed, the National Treasury has tried to move with the procurement, but the pace, especially after the minister has pronounced that there is so much of 25 billion that has been, regarding the tenders, that has been maladministered. So one will really appreciate if the pace of towards the implementation to counteract that behavior, that it does not happen in the next financial year. As a committee, I think we will appreciate that, to see that what needs to be done is a central processing or shared services existing to all provinces. What is happening with the bulk infrastructure tenders? What is the monitoring tool there? Then that will assist us to have an effective oversight towards the procurement services. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Matlamini. Anyone, any other member? Honourable Ryan?
Yeah, maybe just a general comment. If we look into the projections outlined here, it's very clear that certain economic trends were taken into consideration. I mean, for Treasury to reach this particular conclusion, or maybe to say these projections will be in this fashion in a given period. I think what is key for us, or of course, notwithstanding what the submission that has been made by members, more especially Honourable George, around how long is it going to take us, I mean, to reach a positive budget balance, you know. I think it's very crucial that if there are areas that we think they were not observed, or maybe there are trends that can be changed in as far as the Treasury observation is concerned, let's be specific to say we think this can be done better. So, as I mean, we shorten this particular projection, or the period of this particular projection. So, at the end of the day, we are able to reach a positive budget balance. Thank you.
Ryan, Dr. George.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to add on to what Honourable Van Rooyen said. They obviously have used projections, and it's very difficult because we're not, I mean, we can't ever be sure what the economy really will do. We could have shocks, etc. But based on what they've got now, that's all we can really project on. As I said, it would take 10 years. The only thing that can be done, really, and I was writing it down on my note here, is that we could recommend that steps be taken to accelerate the decline in expenditure. So it wouldn't actually decline in real terms, because you've got to take inflation into consideration as well. But what you can do is to say that government needs to be more efficient. So what you can do is, over time, have less expenditure. So maybe more than a decline of 0.5. You could maybe go into 0.6 or 0.7. Not much. You could shave a bit off. And that means you will converge sooner. So I think it's various members have already mentioned the issue about efficiency and expenditure. So across departments, that is what we would expect government to be doing, to say, how can we tighten up on our expenditure? It will then impact on the fiscal framework, and it will bring us to a surplus or to a balanced budget sooner, which will then take pressure on debt, for example, and then make more money available for service delivery. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. George. Anyone else?
It says we acknowledge the work that has been done by Treasury, because if you look into the area of expenditure by department, this is what I've just submitted. It's an area that we, as a point of emphasis, we are saying it must be tightened. And we are not saying there is no such an observation from Treasury. Because if we come with a new submission at all, it might create the impression that we are not taking note of the submission that has been made by Treasury and the good work that they have, I mean, they have done for us to reach this particular product. So I'm saying, let's take note of what they are saying, so as we base our submissions on what they are saying exactly, because it's the same thing that they are saying. Now we are just putting more emphasis around aspects of expenditure by various government departments. Thanks.
Captured that. Honorable Mashile.
Thanks, Chairperson. Mine, I think I'm just actually looking at the expenditure trends that we are expecting, especially on page 36, that I'm on the public enterprises over the MTF of 428 billion. That we are expecting, and if we heard the minister properly, is that these enterprises, there is an expectation that we are going to relook at their governance structures, we are going to relook at their mandates, and also relook at the remunerations. And now, but there is no reflection over the period, whether that will have any impact on the expenditure that's expected. The expenditure that's reflected over the 3 years looks like it's constant and growing steadily, as if nothing will be happening. Unless we actually indicate that those kind of changes on these entities are done in a manner that it doesn't actually disturb the service provisions and expenditure, then I think that will be right. Otherwise, you can't change mandates and change even the remunerations in these entities and their governance without having a marked effect on their delivery. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mashile. Honorable Johnny.
No, Chair, I think... Save for all the comments that have been made and going forward, but there seems to be a general consensus on the revised fiscal framework as presented by Treasury, that we are in agreement with that. So I think to avoid the temptation of venturing into issues that we're still going to process at a later stage, we move towards that direction. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Johnny. You're fine. Honorable members, we've made our inputs regarding the revised fiscal framework, and Mr. Viljoen captured everything. That report, this report will be drafted now, and you see it's Friday. And my proposal, I didn't confer with the co-chair, but that between now and Tuesday that we will have to relook that report. If you want to make input on that point. It's just about the practicalities from here on.
Yeah. I think you're right. I don't want to open a new debate. Because we had a very, very elaborate interaction with National Treasury yesterday, and I think it was one of the liveliest debates. Presentation, which is very exciting. And again, I don't think it is the end, even if we make a recommendation today. These documents, if we go and read them again, they'll continue to stimulate our work. It's a very, very interesting document in terms of the world trends and what the debates are in the economic sphere, you know, what intervention should you go on expansionary or should you go on the opposite of that, contractionary. Other governments say, let's move in this way to reduce the deficit, others increase the deficit. And I'm raising this thing in terms of this point because of the observation that the committee is making between revenue growth and expenditure growth. There's a little bit of a mismatch there. And the recommendation that is coming from one of the members, I think it's Dr. George, is that National Treasury should look at ways and means of closing that gap. But what I've not spoken to is the link between this revenue growth and economic growth. You see, the fiscal framework projects growth at a particular rate, 3.2 and to 4%. And they actually also admit to say, if we are to reach certain objectives, we need to grow at 7%. I think it's an important point that we need to factor in our report. Because the alternatives that you say they must examine, I think for me, the emphasis should be that this fiscal framework should actually propel the economy to grow more than 4%. So we're placing the ball back into the issue or into the, within the context of a broader social discord. What is it that South Africa needs to do to reach the levels of growth that will actually impact positively on unemployment. And I think they've given us some basis on that. The second issue that I was going to say, we need to find a way to capture, because revenue growth is also impacted on the SACU issues. Yes, of course, there is a meeting coming and so on and so forth. I think as a committee, we should express a view that says those issues must be resolved as soon as possible, because our observation is that it does impact on our revenue generation as a country. These are the two issues that I thought I should raise, Honorable Co-Chair. The issue of maybe it's a process issue now. What do we do from here? But also the concern as to whether this growth projection would be achievable given the unpredictability of the world economy. I think yesterday the Director General did indicate to a very large extent the counter and pro cyclical
fiscal stance that the country has taken. But there is, in this projection, an expectation, or probably it is budgeted for the double dip, if it was going to happen, or any other eventuality, but it is not very, very clear. So what I was going to say is that, given the predictability of the medium-term expenditure framework, not only the fiscal framework, if we agree with those figures, we should also qualify it in terms of what you have raised earlier on, that further work needs to be done in terms of cautioning the economy, particularly given that, you see, we are basing our growth on the expectations of India, Brazil, and China, because we are in a commodity-driven economy up to now in terms of exports. That's what has sustained, is infrastructure and commodities that has sustained our economic growth in South Africa. But when you look at China itself, it's beginning to have serious problems because of currency issues, the currency war. Whether it will continue to retain the depreciated currency or they'll have to appreciate the currency, and what will mean, and what is the meaning of that in terms of their ability to export, because it's an export-driven economy. If there's going to be a slowdown in the Chinese economy, definitely is going to impact on the developing economies and so on and so forth. So I just wanted to give this broad picture without necessarily having to say, let's factor it into a report in a particular way that brings doubt into the fiscal framework as presented. Now, in terms of process, co-chair, honorable members, I think what I had thought we should do, and it's a practice that we've had, is that after this deliberation, Honorable George has written what he thinks we should actually put in. If we were to do the same in terms of the VAT, and then the SACU issue, Honorable Goranov, just get a paragraph on that to help the Secretariat. And so on and so forth. I can't capture everybody's input. So that between now and tomorrow, Bradley, I know you will. Yeah, let's abuse you for the last time. You know? And then you'll then also remind us that we need to be disabused of the notion that you can be abused all your life. So that over the weekend, the draft report, which we can provisionally adopt now, is circulated to all members. And by Monday, and I'll be reachable in terms of the phone, and I'll be working very closely with Bradley to penalty the report and the co-chair, so that by Monday we've got a final draft that is circulated to members if there's any new input that we can make. But by 9 o'clock, we should have completed that interaction amongst ourselves. The world and technology allows us to interact. We don't have to be at the same place in order to have a resolution on a particular matter. And then it can be ATC, I think that's the language we use in Parliament, ATC Monday afternoon, and be ready for tabling on Tuesday. It's a process that we've managed before. It's not something that is out of this world. So I thought we should actually take that with honorable members. And one other thing is that what makes our work to be a little bit lighter is that we shouldn't always try to fix that which works or break down that which works and try to fix something else. You'd agree with me that
probably world over. And I'm not saying we should do anything and try to change something in terms of national treasury representation. But I can say, safely say, from where sitting, they have demonstrated to understand the world economy in many ways than one. And hence, we've been able to steer this ship. And it's not without us. It is because of our engagement with them. So the product that we have, in a very large way, we may not realize it is the work that we've always contributed towards the committee in terms of our engagement with them. So it's not an event that we're dealing with. It's a process that we've been involved in. So with this few comments that I've made, honorable members, if you agree with that process, let's do it, and we'll finalize the report by Monday morning, 9 o'clock. I think the report will be circulated to members. We've got emails. I remember you know, one of the things that we did is to put our morals or morale in Parliament. We got computers, and there was one Friday where the airport was full with common bags, you know, people dragging these things, you know, laptops. So they must work, those things. We are connected. Okay.
Yes, Honourable Co-Chair. Do
you agree, Honourable Members?
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
Okay. Researchers, are you fine?
Mr. Nkise, why are you worried?
All right. Okay, no, let's leave them. They're still thinking.
Yeah.
All right. We are fine as honorable members, as committee members. We have, as the standing committee, joint standing committee of finance, considered the revised fiscal framework. And then the recommendation is that the House accepts, you know, the fiscal framework with the comments that we have made in the report. Okay, agreed. Yeah, no, that's fine. This thing goes for the NCOP and for ourselves jointly.
That's
it's a resolution that binds two houses. Okay. I think the first part of our meeting is done. We need to deal with the two reports of the BRR. I think we're going to... We're going to agree more quicker and allow Parliament to have other activities that they've lined up for us to participate, because I'm told there's an Auditor General activity that these committees of finance are very, very important, and members to attend that meeting. But I did not anticipate that we'll do so quickly. Honourable members, we've got two reports, but this is more for the Standing Committee on Finance in the NA. It has got, but as we are here, Ms. Twins, Honorable De Beer, there's no crime for you to listen, but you are released if you've got other activities.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Let's see if we can form a quorum to adopt the two reports. Okay. It's a pity we don't talk about land in this committee. And yet, it must include land.
Honourable members, before we deplete ourselves, let's reconverge. Mkiz. You are disrupting this meeting. Okay. And that's not what I told you. I'm hitting back. All right, honorable members. We have got two BRR reports. One for Stats SA and the other one for National Treasury. I'll recommend that we start with the draft report on National Treasury. And hopefully honorable members had the opportunity to go through what is written here. And I'll ask if there's any amendments on page one, National Treasury draft report. Because I assume that you have read. If you don't comment, I say page two. I'm not going to give you the opportunity to read now. Page two? Page one, all right.
Thank you, Chair. It's not a major issue, but I just want to request the Secretariat to write the name of the Act in full so that we don't confuse those who will read this report who do not belong in this committee.
That's it, dear? Yeah, that was sure.
On page two, Chair, I just want to check from members. The bullet point number three, which talks about sustaining the fiscal stance. If you read that bullet with the first paragraph, under 3.1, to me there's, I think, contradiction there. And I just want to check if it's what Treasury said. If it's what they said, it's fine, we'll leave it as it is. But if it's not what they said, I think we need to rephrase that sentence. Bullet three. Yes.
Chair, I think that's okay, that the way that it's phrased, because they're saying commitment to these several things. Sustain the fiscal stance followed over the years by applying appropriate fiscal policies. That's the counter-cyclicality. They've been doing that, and they've been quite stable. So I think if that's what they said, I think we should be happy with it.
What the minister said yesterday with regard to the guarantee of Eskom, should it come in here or not? Is it not necessary? Page 6 on the Program 2. I remember I've asked the question in the committee on the readiness of some of these hospitals. There was a reply, but I couldn't remember. It was very vague. Should we include replies or not necessarily? Of course, that was, in fact, what I think it did come out of a research document from Parliament, this specific paragraph. But there was a reply. Maybe we must... I don't know whether we've got time to check it with Treasury. Program 2, page 6, on the hospitals. You know, the question is, you know, parliamentary research, Guy said that the annual report was silent on this issue, on this specific issue. And then I've asked the question to say that indicated that the feasibility studies for six hospitals should be completed for a year. And I've asked which hospitals, you know, and there was some sort of a vague reply. It was not a good one, but there was a vague reply. I can't remember. It is, sorry, yeah. But then they say, they state that it will be completed. But there was more information given to us. Because we all know it's a priority.
He will go back to his tapes and just get additional information. Yeah, if there is some information that has been omitted, but if there's nothing, then we can live with the report as it is. Page 7.
I think it was made by Honorable George on expanding the tax base. I know it's covered somewhere in the report, but I think we need to bring it under this topic. There was also an issue around a credible business register. Yeah, okay. On point 8.2, I just want to qualify that statement or sentence, Chair, by saying the Minister of Finance should consider tabling the medium-term budget policy statement early in October to allow Parliament to process MTBPS. 8.3, National Treasury should review the annual report format for national departments reporting to Parliament in line with the Money Bills Amendment Procedure Act.
Yeah.
Okay. George?
Thank you, Chair. There were two other things that I did raise, well, which I wrote on my note, which Brandy's given back to me. fortunately, because I didn't have it with me, any records. There were two things that I'd raised here, and I'll read you what I've written as a recommendation, that National Treasury should consider the framework for consumer protection against financial exploitation to ensure that the Financial Services Board is appropriately resourced and has appropriate jurisdiction. The reason why I raise that is because it is extremely concerning that as our people emerge from poverty, they do need to access financial products and services, etc., and often they really are not properly equipped to fully understand them, or if there's exploitation, there's nowhere to turn. And I think we actually need to do something about that. So obviously, as Honourable Van Rooyen mentioned, there might be financial implications, but that we'd have to be told at some point. And then the second one was, what did I say? The National Treasury should provide the committee with a detailed progress report on measures implemented to ensure that national government departments adhere to the appropriate legislation and regulations regarding the management of public finances. What you were saying is it's very important for Treasury. One of the biggest mandates of Treasury is to make sure that the public's money is properly managed and that the leakage from the bucket isn't too big. And we would like them to make sure that that happens. I think they do that to an extent, but that they need to maybe tighten up some things. And then, as Honourable Sabitla said, about expanding the tax base. Thank you, Chair. That's all I've got.
Thank you once more, Chair. In our deliberation with National Treasury, we picked up that, in fact, in the annual report, there are cases that have been, criminal cases that have been referred to law enforcement agencies. Now, it emerged during the Minister's presentation that there is a problem around that area of ensuring that these cases are dealt with expeditiously, but also these cases are dealt with appropriately, because apparently there is a lack of skill among the law enforcement agencies. There's a lack of skill to deal with financial-related crimes, you know. So I think that working relationship, we need to emphasize on the need of improving it, but also ensuring that there are appropriate, or competent law enforcement agencies that are working with National Treasury to deal with criminal crimes and related to its work. Thank you.
I think this is the last comment on the report. The last page is page 18. Any other thing? I think you've commented on page 18. Honorable members, I placed before this committee this draft report for adoption with the amendments that you have alluded to. Agreed? Agreed. Thank you. I'm advised there should be a move and a second. Okay. Honorable Koranov moves. Seconded by Honorable George. Let's go to the draft report on the status A. Page 1, Padilo Hutla. Statistician General was here to elaborate on his strategic plans and priorities. Page 2, are you still on page 1, Honorable Van Rooyen?
No, it's fine. I think
that's
something that was not supposed to go to
make my question.
Okay. I
was going to go to the committee. All right. Page 3. Blase 4. Blase 5. Gientlachte. Blase 5. plus it says, plus say Siebe, Dr. George.
On the very last sentence, I think there's a mistake, a spelling error. This minor, the section also provides an evaluation, and that's not right. Assessors, I think, should say, or something. Am I right?
You said the last, I mean, the what paragraph is that?
Is that right, that word? Yeah. I think there's an S missing at the end, isn't it? Or something. Thank you.
Okay, okay. Okay. I didn't remind them at the beginning that, you know, on Fridays, you must work hard so that by a certain time of the day you are not in this chamber. Because there are people who own this place when we are not here. Page 8. Blase Nyeche. Doctor.
On table number 1, the very first item says identified of rural dwellings. I think that, I don't know what that's supposed to be. It shouldn't be that. Yeah, maybe identification of, yeah. Thanks, Chair.
And it's dwellings, not dwelling.
Yes.
Plus 18. Plus the elf. Page 12. Page 13. Page 14. Page 15. Dr. George.
Thank you, Chair. All the items that we spoke about, I think, are kept here, but there was one thing that I thought maybe we should add. We saw that Stats SA is going to do the census next year, and they also mentioned about the need to make sure that we have ambassadors, for example. So I was suggesting that we should say something along the lines of that Parliament should support the Census 2011 process by participating in Stats SA's awareness program. So Parliament can do something to, you know, make the people aware. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Van Rooyen?
Yeah, maybe as a rider to the submission. As a rider to the submission made by Honorable George, I think there was also a suggestion from the committee that we must have what we call ambassador pack, because that will then assist us, I mean, to communicate the right message, I mean, to our constituencies. And, Chair, in my notes here, I don't know if it's really a matter that one must be worried of, because if you follow on our discussion, the issue of CIPRO having a credible business register, was raised when we dealt with Step SA, if my memory is, in fact, my notes are saying that. So I'm not sure if there's any harm if we raise it under Treasury or if we raise it under Step SA, because apparently Step SA raised it as a challenge in terms of getting information of businesses from CIPRO. So I'm not sure, because obviously I know it also has impact on issues of treasures. So I'm not sure. Maybe the House will have
something. So I don't think there will be harm raising it under Treasury and States SA, because the three institutions are involved in ensuring that you have a credible register.
Thank you.
you'll capture that concern on both sides and the recommendation that the information in the database needs to be cleaned. That's basically what we're saying. Honorable members, having arrived and reached page 50, I want to place this draft report before committee members for adoption with the amendments that have been alluded to. Agreed? Moved by Mazamini, Honorable Mazamini, seconded by Honorable Mutimele. All flights have been cancelled out of Cape Town until Monday. Yeah, honorable members, once again, let me take this opportunity to thank you very much for your cooperation and understanding on how we should process difficult matters amongst ourselves. It takes a great deal of maturity and understanding of issues and the responsibilities that we have as elected members of parliament. And I think up to now we've exercised our expected fiduciary responsibility in a manner that surpasses, in some instances, our own expectations as members in this committee. Thank you very much. Thanks. Yeah. Otherwise, the budget of this committee should be the budget for food an oversight visit one or two a year internally. And yet, I was in China. I was dragged in resisting. You know, I'm not a fan of traveling. But what emerged in my interaction with other chairpersons when I was there, you know, because of the debate around climate change, it's such an important matter, it's an economic issue, that the Committee on Environmental and Water Affairs here takes and participates in international forums and makes an input. So Parliament is represented, Parliament's voice is there to back government in most institutions, most of the time. And they do, it's not just traveling, it's also making sure that we send the correct message on behalf of Parliament. Now, we're engaging with Treasury on well trends. And fortunately, unfortunately, the South African economy is so intertwined with the world economy is unlike other economies in the continent, but this one is, you are part of the G20, for instance. The President of the Republic wants to make an input there. To what extent are we abreast with those issues? So in short, what I'm saying is that I think we need to develop our own progress in terms of our international tours and what we need to actually interact with. Sometimes we may not necessarily be in a position to can go there, given that probably during that time you may not find the right people. But I know the IMF is coming here somewhere towards the end of this year, November, so it might be an opportunity for us to have an interaction with them. But before that, we ourselves must have a discussion of what is it that we want to cause to these people, so that we don't become recipients of information only. We can also become people who can shape that institution. But I take your point. It's for the second time that we are raising this matter, that this committee is grounded. We're not becoming proactive, and there's nobody who's going to come with that progress unless we ourselves apply our minds on the issue that we need to deal with. You know, I was talking to Dr. Ben Turok yesterday, just as a last comment, and he says to me, I've been doing research, and I don't think National Treasury or anybody knows the role or understand the role of asset managers. You know, there's huge pensions in that area, so on and so forth. But if you try to locate it within the debate of the economy, nobody knows where they located these people. And these are multinational transactions. It's not an issue that resides here. The minister yesterday said part of the inflows that are coming into the country, which impacts on our currency, is pension funds from other countries looking for a yield. To what extent are we grappling with these issues? But we cannot only grapple them with these issues in terms of our own understanding here. We need to interact with other institutions elsewhere to deal with these issues. So I'm still saying perhaps with what we need to do, you and I, to sit down and begin to look into next year's program in a more meaningful way. We also have this thing, the possibility of the tour by the finance committees on this budget office to Canada, Mexico, is it Malawi? No, Kenya. Kenya. And end of this year, beginning of next year, we'll have to look into those issues. Good enough. And are you okay? Mukhala.
Yeah, okay, I know that I'm under pressure for my colleague here. But it's off record, by the way. And I'm going to say it's not in off record. I'm happy you brought this aspect here of as Pepe. I'm very intimidated. You know, the 5-day fever is very strong on my
left.
I hope they are already seeing them. They already are putting bread. No, okay, I was saying, maybe you brought the aspect of us tapping into our own resource base, the issue of taking advantage of what is taking place at home. Because, you see, if we don't address that, I can tell you with my previous experience as an activist of local government, I realize that in some cases, we don't prioritize what we have at home. And we go and attend to these things national or international. Only to realize that the information is there, though. And if we don't do that, If we don't do that, we even lose aspects of coordination of some of these reasons. Because we'll find that there are rich people there, delegation is there, and then we are also there, and then we are all trying to put our South African position. So obviously coordination is not a problem, you know. But I'm saying, if we are given a chance, I'll make an example. Last year, there was an arrangement for us to attend this presentation, which is an international institution or international initiative on extractive industry, dealing with what is the revenue of mineral resources is meant for in developing countries. You know, it is an economic issue, and of course, got a bearing on aspects of budget and revenue, you know, of the country. And I think I'm not sure how many of us were going to attend that. But if my memory serves me well, I only saw one